Welcome, everyone, to the TCR Podcast, episode 109. I'm your host, Justin Skirbo, and today I'm joined by Alex Schock.
Hello, Justin.
I'm joined by Justin Chow.
Hello, Justin.
I'm joined by Liz Lai Sumi.
Hello, Justin.
That was great. That was fucking great.
And this week, I am pleased to introduce a friend, a Twitch streamer, a returning to the space YouTuber.
All around, just great guy.
Awesome, awesome dude. And Mr. Abel Green is with us on the podcast. Hello, Abel.
Welcome.
Hello, guys. How you doing? How you doing? Good
What's
evening.
What's up?
Oh, dude, we're so happy to have you, man. Like, it's been probably, what, almost
it's
2 years?
It's been a while,
years?
Justin.
Almost
a while.
2 years since I've seen you,
yeah.
So,
yeah,
yeah.
How'd you guys meet? I don't even know.
Yeah, so Abel and I met on a pre-Lawbreakers release promotional event party kind of thing,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, that's... Oh, really?
Same thing with Joey.
Oh, okay. It's all coming together now.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah.
We were hanging out with our friend Joey, Reclaim Joey, who was on the podcast earlier. And Abel was kind of the third of that trio. The three of us were kind of hitting it up, playing some games. They were playing much better than me at this event.
Oh, but...
but it was pretty cool, man.
Lawbreakers.
Yeah, yeah. I had a great time. Great time. Rest in peace to Lawbreakers. But
yeah, wait. Does anybody play Lawbreakers like now or before?
I don't think
now?
You could pay anybody to play.
It's crazy, man. Like when we were talking to Joey, he's like ready to die on that hill. Like he really still loves that.
Overwatch is okay, but it's all about Lawbreakers.
It's so sad because that game. It's phenomenally like it's one of the most polished games I ever played in my life. Like seriously, the game hands down is remarkable, but it just didn't take off. I don't know what happened,
Overwatch
but it
happened.
Just did not. Yeah, I guess it was timing.
It's Battleborn.
Yeah, I guess it was timing because if they came out the year that Overwatch came out, they might have stood a chance at second because you always need a competitor
right,
to a certain
true,
genre.
Right.
You always need two. You always need two because you have right now you have PUBG and then you have Fortnite. So
yeah,
you always
that's
have
right.
They go hand in hand. So you always need that competitor. But Lawbreakers, it really missed a mark in some way, shape, or form. And it's like an anomaly. It doesn't even make sense.
We got Monster Hunter and Dauntless, too. Like,
yes,
you can't really consider Dauntless as like
It's crazy, though. I feel like what Lawbreakers was, it was like, that was like the most refined and polished version of like the old guard of shooters,
like,
you know
Quake.
What I mean?
Yeah,
hyper realistic and all
yeah.
this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But then you look at Overwatch and it's this totally fresh and new and colorful and cartoony characters
yeah.
and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it just totally like hit a different note that, you know,
I mean, it's a pretty different, I think also like audience, not everybody, people can like both, but they're for different people. Like, I would be much more likely to play Overwatch. I'm not a hardcore first-person shooter.
Well, it's
more accessible to people like that. But somebody that's, like, wants that more traditional, you know, they're not going to get that from Overwatch.
Yeah. And what's funny is, like, Lawbreakers advertising was in direct opposition with that. Like, their thing were like, oh God, what was their tagline? It was like, are you skilled AF? Like, like meaning, like, this is the shooter for hardcore shooters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Which is not Overwatch
correct.
At all.
Overwatch
is just
like,
everybody have fun and do whatever you want.
Yeah, Lawbreaker's approach was pretty intimidating, to say the least. And then you had the other perspective of Overwatch, which was very arms open, welcoming. So it was like it took a very different approach, and it seemed like Blizzard nailed it on the head.
Yeah, it hit the perfect note where you got both the casual players and then you also got the hardcore gamers.
Yeah.
They always crush
True.
It.
True.
They always crush
exactly.
it.
Totally. Exactly. Blizzard is amazing.
They are really good. Plus their characters are vibrant and characterful. And then you have Lawbreakers where the characters are not as vibrant and I don't really know what
dark.
Personality
yeah,
is.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
all kind of look the same. Maybe one has a shoulder pad.
I mean, they said interesting things or whatever, but like you can't eat like it. They were fighting a losing battle. You couldn't
right.
like
There's no
characterize
way you
on
like
the
a
same
D.Va
level
or
as Blizzard. Yeah.
Have you guys seen the trailer for that movie coming out, Ready Player One?
Oh yeah.
The newest
no,
one.
No, I didn't
in?
See that.
No. Tracer's in that.
Tracer's in the
no
newest
way.
One. I lost my mind.
What?
Tracer here?
Oh my
so
god! Like I'm like not like all about this Ready Player One stuff right now. And the more
Did
I see it, I'm like yeah. But like the more I see it, I'm like all this movie's trying to do is like. Just pander to like everybody all at the same time. It's
That's
like
what the book
it's like
does,
hey, remember
oh,
remember
okay.
anything? Remember Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, remember Back to the Future, anything that
you have read or you haven't read?
I have read it.
Yeah, well, that's what the book did, too. I mean...
Yeah, but it was, like, it almost used that as, like, a framework, you know what I mean? It's like, there was actually still a story there, and I feel like the trailers are just, like...
Well, the trailers are throwing it at you. I think there's potential there for them to go kind of back to the
seems,
story.
It seems very different from the book.
Yeah, it's easy to advertise like that, though.
I haven't read...
Oh, the Iron Giant.
And, like, it, like, brings the characters together much, much sooner, and I think that's just easier to... film. Like, it's an easier story to tell in film.
Abel, have you read the book or watched any of the trailers?
No, not at all, guys.
Have you
heard
of this
movie
or game or book at all?
And what is it called again? Say it one more time.
It's called
so, no.
Ready Player One.
No, not at all.
So Ready Player One, actually, like,
can somebody explain it?
Just finished it, like, a week ago. So Ready Player One is about, it's a post-apocalyptic whatever. I mean, it's not post-apocalyptic, but it's some years in the future. There is an energy crisis, so there's a lot of
it's like dystopian future.
Yeah, so, you know, nobody can afford gas, there's a lot of poverty, and, like, people escape to this virtual reality called The Oasis.
Okay.
And at some point, the creator of The Oasis passes away, and he says, I'll pass my entire fortune and, like, the whole ownership of The Oasis, which is basically now just the internet. Like, it is a large virtual reality game that, well, like, everybody plays. But also you can use it to, like, browse through the internet. It's just
people, like, go to school through it.
And it's everybody's sort of everything at this point. Like, it's, like, it's this whole, you know...
It's, like, the world is such a wasteland that Oasis, this virtual world, is just where everybody
is. What Elon Musk thinks this world is. Right? Anybody?
About how this world is the Matrix.
It's a virtual reality. Yeah, okay. I thought I was afraid that nobody was. Okay, keep going.
So eventually, at some point, the creator dies, and he says, I'm going to pass everything, including the ownership of the Oasis, to whoever can win this Easter egg hunt.
Who can find the Easter egg,
So he puts, these clues in, and it's like, you know, study everything I like, and all of his references. He, like, was obsessed with the 80s, like I'm sure the author is. So, like, it's full of a ton of 80s references.
Video games, anime.
Yeah, and so it's
cool.
A very popular...
pop culture.
In our society, it's pretty popular among video gamers because it's kind of all just about virtual gaming. And they have to be good at video games, and it's all, like, there's a lot of, like, classic video game references, and, like, they talk about Joust and
Pac-Man.
And
all
And then Steven Spielberg got a hold of it, and now we have a movie coming out.
Yes. Luckily, Steven Spielberg owns a lot of IPAs, so he can use them.
I'm sorry,
not IPAs.
I was like, beers?
I'm not alcoholic.
He likes a hoppy beer.
He's a big hop fan.
So
in it, in, like, the most recent trailer I saw, they were, like, bringing new references, and there's Tracer there, and that's why I thought that.
Okay.
Yes.
No, it sounds cool, though. It sounds cool.
Do you think there would be a Lawbreakers reference?
Oh, Lord.
Full circle?
Probably not. So Abel, when I met you, you were started streaming, you know, didn't start streaming, you were kind of in the throes of streaming. And since then, I've popped in on your channel. I see seeing what you've got going on. You're playing a lot of Rainbow Six Siege.
Yes. Yo, so if you're playing a lot, I'm assuming that you're really enjoying that. When I first saw that the trailer come out, I was like, oh my god, this is the Rainbow Six that I wanted. Because I was a huge fan of, like, Rainbow
Vegas.
Six Las Vegas. And Las Vegas 2.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The online with that was fantastic. But then I saw this, and I was like, this is the end-all be-all. For some reason, I never jumped on the bandwagon. But it's still going on, and I'm assuming it's huge. Is that right?
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. By number standards, the game is doing phenomenal. Now it's kind of weird on Twitch because it's not that booming on Twitch. It's okay, but it's not as booming. But the numbers are insane.
Yeah. Really?
Like the people are buying in droves. Like you see the player base grow, but you don't see the viewership grow for it, which is kind of weird for that game.
Okay.
Now, to start off, to be very honest, Rainbow Six was pretty shit in the beginning. Like, it really was in a terrible state. I'm very passionate about Rainbow Six. I love Tom Clancy games. So Rainbow Six was very near to me. And I was like, come on, man, you guys have been waiting for your return. And then we get this. And then the developers kept plugging away, kept updating the game. And then slowly but surely, it's like, they got something here.
What was the problem originally?
It was just connectivity issues.
Oh, no.
Core mechanics of the game that should make the experience splendid and just smooth and easygoing was just chaotic. It was the worst experience that you could have online. It took forever to connect to matches.
Wow.
You spend more times down in the main menus. You played the main menu more than you played the game.
Yes.
You understand? So it was like,
Dishonored? No, not Dishonored. What was that? Poor Honor was.
Oh my god!
Yeah. That sounds like the ingredients of what they fucked up in a great game. That was just
that game on paper seemed amazing, but execution wise, it was so spammy and cheap.
It's so sad.
Like it gets so sad though. Such potential.
Yeah.
Such I was so geeked.
I tried to play that.
Me too.
I feel like when it came out, people were talking about it, and it like. Died.
There was potential there. Ubisoft. They just really.
But somebody exposed like how the flaws in the game were. It happened in this big tournament. They had this big tournament where the dude took a cash prize off of doing like this cheap move.
It was like one move over and over again. Yeah.
Really?
Nobody could stop him.
That was
probably the game was broke. The game was broke. And then when the devs came on to hand him the check. They were like, it would have been nice if you used another move, but here's your
I couldn't believe it.
I was like gone. I was like, oh my god.
It's congratulations on winning, but you just made us all lose respect for this game.
Yo, I know the devs had to be sick to their stomach because they're like, how did we not catch that?
Oh but, yeah, like in such
how
a
did
public
we not
way.
Catch that?
Yeah, right.
And see, this is what makes something like Rainbow Six so crazy to me, because like we see games have these kind of rises and dramatic falls, you know what I mean? And some of them never, ever recover from it. I mean, Evolve never recovered. Lawbreakers is likely never going to recover. But Rainbow Six had like, you know, like you're saying, kind of a shit coming to market. But then, like, you know, it was supported enough. And I guess just the gameplay loop, once it was, refined and worked well, and I guess they had some good sales at certain times that get people playing. But it's become incredibly sticky.
There's been forever now, like, a Tom Clancy, like, core community, you know, who's all about it. And I'm sure, as long as the developers, right? I'm sure, I mean, you can probably say this more than I can, but I'm sure the developers were just as open as they possibly could with communication, being like, we hear all your problems, we're working on it, should have updates by this date, this date, this date. And then slowly but surely, one step at a time, it got better. And then
it did.
Yeah, right? On my Steam friends list, I see people playing it now, and I'm like, I thought that game died years ago, man. What happened?
No, it's actually thriving. It's actually doing very well in sales, and everybody's logging on every night like crazy. But again, on the Twitch side of things, it's not a watcher for people, which is understandable. Rainbow Six is a dark game. It's a dark game. It's not something only the select few are going to come in and understand it. Like, I say it's a dark game just looking at the from an aesthetic standpoint, because looking at it, it gives like I go to other Twitch directories and I look at the games being played, and they look so colorful and make you smile. And you're like, this is nice. You go to Rainbow Six, it looks like you went into a dark alley and the guy's asking for your wallet. Like, it's kind of like that situation.
Yeah, I remember the first trailer, I think it was, it happened in a home, in someone's home.
Yes.
And they it was like terrorists who have captured the family or something.
Yeah.
Counter-terrorists have to go in there and save the family by blowing holes in like the ceiling and stuff.
Yeah, basically Princess Peach was upstairs in a bedroom.
And and everybody was Mario.
We had to save her from the room.
Right.
Oh my gosh. So like you're saying viewership on Twitch isn't like awesome. Do you ever see like
not at all
like random people just kind of popping in like looking for like some higher level play or anything like that?
Now the thing about this is it's the same old same. Like you have some people that are especially skilled don't get viewership like that.
Right.
It's very weird that directory there because I have a lot of people I know I'm known in that I have to. I grind that directory so much. I know I'm known. But it's as far as growth and stuff hasn't been big, even for fellow streamers.
Yeah.
So I know it's just not a me thing. I know it's a community thing.
For
so
sure,
I don't know other directories. People flourish. They just flourish and go. R6, very stagnant. You see the same faces, same people, same. It just, it's not dying and it's not booming. Like, it's just where it's at.
Is like, there an active community on like Reddit or there?
How is the community outside of Twitch? I don't really frequent with the Reddit at all. I'm actually not a Reddit goer like that. Yeah, I want to get into it. I want to kind of understand that, but I'm not too much of like a big reader of forums like that, to be honest with you.
The UI is terrible. But, why do people use it? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's kind of archaic and kind of throwback.
The
it's
time.
Like,
I just couldn't read it for me. So that
Multiple times in my life, people came up to me and asked me if I read it. I was just like, do I come off as like a
I've never heard someone use that as a verb.
Yo, that would have been dot for me.
Abel, do you Reddit?
Right. Like, do you Reddit? Like, I vape. Like,
I can Google. Is that cool? Am I still cool? Oh man. Well, what you were saying before makes a lot of sense because, like, I watch. I love watching like highlight reels of Rocket League. But weirdly enough, you go to like Twitch, Rocket League's not really watched either. Like, surprise.
But it's booming someplace else.
Yo, I know it has to be.
Yeah.
And that's the weird thing because when they do the competitions and stuff, the world comes to watch. Oh, right. And you're like, where are you on Tuesday?
Yo, where are you on the internet?
Exactly.
Right. Like, where are you Monday through Friday? But when you have a competition, it just floods.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, whoa. Yeah. Like it's like, oh, here's the audience, here's the community. But as soon as the competition's over, everybody goes.
Yeah, there was
the world
competition for Rocket League was in Washington, I think. I'm not sure if it was in DC or Washington. One of those two, but I know they sold out crazy fast, and I really wanted to.
But, you know, like, but you wouldn't believe it on Twitch. Yeah. You wouldn't believe it. You would never.
Well, it's like, you know, anyone can jump into Rocket League. You know, everyone gets a taste of it, and everyone can have fun in there.
Yeah, I know more.
I can see that being a problem with Siege. You know, it's not totally, you know, open arms
Rocket League became so try hard. I used to be like, hey, this is easy. Now guys don't even touch the floor anymore.
They're
juggling like I'm intimidated now, legit. It used to be so innocent and fun, and now it's so advanced.
And now you have people to practice.
Like,
why?
Like, legit. Like, you have to have scrimmages. Like,
right.
Yeah.
After school games. Pick-up games.
So you have
playbooks.
You bring up an interesting point just about like what games get viewership on Twitch, and this was something that I wrote down that I wanted to ask you, which is like, how do you feel about sort of the trends that we see on Twitch as far as what people are playing? Like, you see these waves of like, you know, now PUBG is ridiculously popular, and then that sort of like maintains for a while, and then you see like now Fortnite's blowing up, and people are watching that. Like, do you ever sort of like follow those trends, or do you ever feel compelled to play those games?
No. I've been around since H1Z1 went to from survival to King of the Kill. Like, I've been around the whole genre. I was around it when people thought I was crazy for playing H1. People were like, "What is H1? Oh, you guys just it was the essential battle royale game before those." And well, actually, if you want to go even beyond that, Arma. But it just, like, I don't follow the trends because Twitch is a unfair place in this sense. Once the bigger crowds carve out a pocket where they sit in and stream, nobody else could really
Market is then saturated.
It's
the front page
is saturated.
Just,
it's over.
Yeah,
so it's like booked. So it almost sounds like you have to be like hot on a trend, like as it's starting, if you want to like
like being a streamer is harder than being like a YouTuber, you know what I mean?
It's weird though. You do get the support from the people. People are very kind and generous in a lot of ways. But the thing is, as far as growing and staying constant with numbers, it's very hard to do, even if you are super consistent, because it's just a lot of directories just don't go your way. I thought of something that was genius when I was like, you know what? They need to have a period of time, like a duration of like 2 to 1 hours, where they have something called the upside and down. Now, I know, don't think of Stranger Things.
I was just about to say.
I know you guys, but I thought of this way before that. It's called the upside and down. So when you actually flip the directory, so the people that are on top shift to the bottom or mid.
I see. So it's like you go to a league stream that has like one guy who's got 10,000 viewers and 50 guys that all have one viewer.
Right.
You would see those
exactly. So, and again, it's only an hour. So what is it going to hurt? You understand? So it gives everybody that opportunity, because somebody would be like, wow, Abel, guess what? You wouldn't believe I was around during the Upside and Down. Like, you'd be like, wow, really? Oh, he's like, yeah, man, I had so many people come through and my audience just grew. I mean, that would be innovative to me. Just mix it up. Directory. And you don't even tell people when it happens. It's super random. It's completely random.
And
then out of nowhere, the Upside and Down would just happen.
Like,
and you'd be like, oh my God, I'm in the Upside.
That's a great idea.
And it's fair. It's balanced. And I'm not even saying bury the bigger streamers. Don't even bury them. Just put them in the middle. Automatically default them to the middle.
I mean, they have the followers already, so those guys are actually hitting them up through notifications.
And then right after the hour, they'll go back to the top.
Yeah, they don't need to be.
Yeah, because that's the thing. It's like most people, like, you figure the casual Twitch user probably goes in with the intention of, like, I want to see a game, but then they usually bind to a personality. But if they're only, if they're saying, like, oh, 10,000 people are watching this guy, clearly this is who I should be watching, it's like, well, there might be somebody who only has like 5 to 10 viewers right now that like you jive with 1,000 times better.
At what point do you think we'll start seeing like like the indie / triple A's, but it's going to be like streamers or like YouTubers? Exactly what you're saying. It's like there's a separation here now. There's like a triple A streamer who's like promoted and, you know, he's backed and supported by all these other companies. Then you have like the indie streamers who are like the one, two, three viewers or whatever, doing whatever games they play.
Yeah.
Different personalities. I don't know. It'd be funny if they start.
Yeah, they all should get treated fair. Like, my thing is this. You don't have to have the most fanciest setup. My thing is this, my priority in my stream is be attentive to the audience, respect people, and have a call to action for your community. Always be there for them. Always try to engage. That's my selling point. Other people go off of skills. Some people can sit there for 2 hours, not say nothing to their chat, and just people are in amazement of their skill and just watch silently for hours.
I watch speedrunners all the time.
Yes, I recently watched Mario 64 and Ocarina of Time speedruns, and it was pretty cool.
My favorite. Did you see that guy 100% through the fire and flames while blindfolded?
Yeah, it's amazing.
No? What? That's a thing?
Yeah.
Wait, it was ridiculous.
Blindfolded? Yeah. 100% blindfolded.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You figured the super fans would get there eventually, right?
It was like, and that was the first time anyone had ever done it. It just happened.
That's amazing.
He did a live on stream.
That is fucking awesome for real.
You should do that on Siege.
Yeah.
Can you please?
Blindfolded one day.
Oh my God.
I would be great. Imagine if it was just comms. They just tell you when to shoot and what to look for.
Twitch
plays Rainbow Six Siege.
But the Twitch platform as a whole, like, I just hope that it progresses in the right way and gives everybody a fair shot. Some of the guys are just discouraged because they feel like they can't even play the latest thing, because one, it becomes a fad, and then two, it's like everybody's there.
Right.
So
yeah.
it's funny because people are like, Abel play Fortnite, Abel play PUBG, and it's fun, but it's like one, I've been doing battle royales since forever.
Yeah.
Little do people know. And then two, it's like, well, I need to. I'm trying to have fun and focus on growth as well, and going in those directories don't really favor you.
Yeah.
But neither do you want to go and play an underground game that gets you no views.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like damned if you do, damned if you don't in both ways.
You're not getting on that Guy in the Cauldron game. What's that called?
Get Over It.
I already bought it. I did a stream night and I had 70 people watching me. I can't even get those numbers on R6 right now, but they wanted to see a black man rage, and they came through. It was
like,
amazing. So
I wish I was watching that.
Fun game.
Is it a fun game?
It looks so
fun.
I mean,
you
were watching
like,
it.
No.
It was fun to watch.
It was fun.
It's a fun game in the sense of like. Let me correct myself.
I'm ready.
Let me correct myself. It's it has a fun premise, but it definitely is a rage inducer. It definitely is one of those things where you kind of like you push your limits, and then don't let somebody in the chat try to school you and like only if you could get up there. I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
Please keep your comments to yourself. Thank you.
Wait.
Were you
listening also to that guy who like speaks to you and he's like, "Don't hate the player, hate the game." You know what I'm talking about? Oh, it just like says in a very calm voice, like, "Ooh, that's really tough, but you know, you just got to keep on going."
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck that guy.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, backseat gamers is not too fun.
But I mean, then I think that brings up a good point. This actually bounces off something that you were saying earlier, where just like, you know, even if you're not like sort of riding viewership numbers off of games, like engaging with your stream, with your chat is like critical to like keeping
That's
people
everything.
In there.
Yeah.
So like, how do you do that for like long stretches of streams? Cause like, you know, I've been on yours and you're on there for a couple hours. You know what I mean?
And it's funny. If you compare my hours, sometimes I do, 5 to 4, like I do between 3 to 5 every time I go live, but I've been pushing 4 to 5 as of often, but
and that's like Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday, and the thing is, for other streamers, that's like part time, like that's like nothing. It's like, okay, that's cute, but watch me do this 18 hour stint right in front of you, and think nothing of it. But the thing is, when your livelihood and everything's already funded, of course you would get that gumption and get inspired to do it. You know, like if you were making 20-30 grand a month, even far more. I know it's far more. Yeah. But if you're getting that type of money, you'll always be inspired to come on. The only thing you got to worry about is balance and burnout. You understand?
Yeah.
Because it's like, as you go on, it's like people always say, do what you love. But check this out. say I'm partnered and I.
Oh, no. Oh. What? Hold on a second.
Oh.
And everything's going
Sorry.
We just jumped out for a second.
Discord paused us or AFK'd us.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Back
oh, yeah,
like
let me move my mouse too.
16 seconds.
When you said, yeah.
I'm
right.
Like, get this.
You're like, get
yeah,
this.
Right.
Okay, here we go. All right. So say that I'm on my way to get partnered, and I'm not partnered yet, but I know I will be in the future. Say a lot of people say, do what you love. And that's actually bullshit because no, it really is. It's almost like you have to do something you hate to enjoy what you love. So like everybody wants to be a streamer and dream like I'm going to be a full-time streamer. I'm going to make this happen. No, that shit's actually a fantasy because my thing is this, not everybody's here on the platform to make it. And I highly speak of everybody. I think everybody deserves a chance. And if you could work for it, hey, go for it.
Yeah,
but I don't see myself on Twitch. Even if I was successful, I don't see myself being there every day doing because my passion would get killed because it turned into a job.
Everything becomes into a job.
Like exactly. So anytime I hear that premise, do what you love, and everybody do what you love and go for it. And I just quit my job to become a Twitch streamer. Really, Suzanne?
God damn it, Charlie! What are you doing here?
I rethink that one. Like even when you get it, and then you're at the pinnacle, you'll be like, "Wow, this is what I fought for." And
I feel like a lot of people that choose to get into it kind of underestimate what it's like to just be on for that long. You know what I mean? Because most people that play games just kind of like, you know, you'll just zone out and be quiet and just sort of like play or whatever. But like if you're hosting a stream, it's like
you're entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you are hosting a crowd. You have punched into work and you must go.
Yeah,
rain, sleet, or snow, like that is it.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, how do you personally hold that stamina? You know what I mean?
Exactly. It's all about checks and balances. And God forbid, like you're like, hey, guys, I'm gonna leave for a little bit. subs drop, money drops, everything drops. And it may not mean everything to you, but some people, that would stress some people out. Me, that would be no sweat off my back. I'll be like, oh, that's cute.
If your livelihood is based on it, though, absolutely. Exactly. You're sweating hard, you know?
Yeah, for sure. But it's like, that's no life to live. Like, time is money. And I feel like time is such an important thing and valued, because people, like, we're on this earth for such a short time. People don't understand how much time people waste in just doing the dumbest shit. Even streaming. It's like, just put a value on life and just really free your time to do things you love. Be with your family, enjoy something, go out with your friends, I know it sounds weird. It's like, Abel, you're in the digital age and you're talking like you want to climb a mountain or go up a trail, but it's like streaming, it is almost like a mirage when you get there. And it's like, I already know what it would feel like. And I know I could get there. I could have been there, but I don't choose to, because I don't. Yeah. I like my sanity. I kind of like
sanity's
underground.
That's a cool thing.
I like it.
Well, you can still enjoy the games at this point, right? It doesn't just suck your soul away.
Because some people, and you know how your audience gets, and that's another thing, streamers, keep this in mind. You are what you put out to your audience. A lot of streamers, they'll be like, wow, my stream is so trolly and people are rude. But have you seen yourself? Have you looked at yourself? You're one of the biggest trolls, and people like, wow, this is toxic, and they want positivity and all these, but it doesn't come when you're a douchebag or a jerk yourself and treat people with disrespect and always joking all the time, everything's a joke, and then your crowd becomes a joke and everything's a joke to them. And it's kind of like you have to nurture and care about your audience to get to that next level that you want to be at or obtain. So like, all my streamers, don't get discouraged, but don't think that Twitch is a big dream that you must bank on. There's other things in life that you actually have no clue that could make you happy, but you just are not privy to them. You don't know about them yet. You still might be young. You just or just may not know. So always just put things in perspective for yourself.
Can you let me know when you publish that book? Because I am ready to write that right now.
Well, this was sort of like you were saying before the podcast started, you know, you've kind of differentiated yourself a lot in this. It's like, not only do you stream when you do, but like, you've got a YouTube channel that you're building up and you're producing music and stuff. Like,
yeah.
You know, I think that's really good on you to kind of have that sort of,
balance,
variety.
Exactly. You can't do too much of one thing, because it would just kill you over time. You have to have fun. And my thing is this, like, that's my whole goal in life. I want to have fun and get money like 360 all around and not stress. Like, I want to be free. I want my time to be free. I want people to look at me and be like, damn, how the hell is this guy free? And he does whatever the hell he wants, buys whatever he wants, does whatever he wants, but he's not attached to streaming. He's not attached to YouTube. He's not attached to, like, people look at me and they're kind of like, Abel, like, all right, you fell off on YouTube because you don't really do this. And now in Twitch too, like, Abel, you're not really consistent like that. Like, but that's not my priority. Like, my priority is living, and my priority is being happy. So it's like, once you have things in the background to kind of fund how you want to live and stuff, you start living how you want to live. Like, you know, like, nothing matters no more because money's not a thing.
For sure.
So it's like, coming back to YouTube and Twitch and everything is something that I choose to do. And it's not something that I'm going to do for life as a necessity to live.
Right.
Yeah. Shout out to my YouTubers, because right now you really got to diversify your portfolio just to survive. So,
yeah.
It's tough out there for all creators, seriously. Twitch streaming or YouTube, guys, I love you, all of you. it's trying times. It really is.
You know what's crazy to me? The idea that, you know, we're in 2018 now, but like 10 years ago, a decade from now or before now, this was a completely different market. Everything has so rapidly changed in the past 10 years that suddenly, like,
correct,
now we get these learnings just now, and then you have all these people entering the market trying to make it as a YouTuber or a Twitcher, but they don't necessarily understand
I feel like they see, like, they see a goal that they imagine, like, oh, it must be so fun to just make videos or just play video games all day and stuff.
Like,
but they don't understand what, like, really goes into it, you know?
A lot of
people. Yeah, because people are blinded. A lot of people don't give a, I'll put it like this. A lot of people that are above, that are at the pinnacle of things, aren't honest people. They wouldn't tell people how it really is, or give them the right direction. Like, if you had somebody out there that actually was a voice and that was like, hey guys, like you see, I'm here. Don't be fooled by where I'm at. This is trying times. You may not want to do YouTube. A lot of people just aren't honest in that way, and give the people the reality check. Everything is so positive, and then, like, do what you do, have fun, do what you love, but no, you have to really grab somebody's hand, kneel down to them, and be like, you may not make it. I don't mean to be mean or nothing. I love everybody. I give everybody, but you may not make it doing this. And just show the world options, because that's one thing. If you just show a mass audience and you're like, hey guys, you may not make it being a YouTuber, they're going to have one of two responses. They're going to be like, well, I'm going to make it, or they just go home sad and be like, hey, maybe he's right, I can't do it.
Yeah,
but the thing that's totally missing, like, is the third wheel. They're not given another option. Nobody else tells them, hey, you could do this instead of YouTube and be very successful and have lucrative money and do, and people like, oh really, I don't have to be in front of a camera and act like a fool or watch a dead body in the background, or not. I don't have to do that.
Oh,
you promise?
Oh, whoa.
Like, but you know what I mean?
So
it's like, people don't know these options, and once the world is privy to these things and get the knowledge, they're like, wow, the world is opening up. Thank you, Abel, for sharing, because I never had my parents tell me that. I never had this one tell me that. Like, people always see this narrow vision of life, but they don't know there's five ways. I'm saying five ways, but there's actually thousands.
Right.
Five ways for you to live the perfect life, and you're happy, and you don't have to dance in front of a camera. You don't have to do this. You could be silent and have money and be happy, be with your friends, and have time.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, it's like people just glorify entertainment, and entertainment is almost like slavery in a way, because you always got to be there, always got to be seen, always got to be on Twitter, you always have to stay up to date with content.
Schedule,
yeah, exactly.
Is real.
Schedule is real. And you, man, guys, you know, you guys are entertainers. You know, you guys know.
We're definitely doing work at it. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So I mean, does this kind of I feel like your position on this totally resonates in how you kind of like handle your sort of like public persona on like Twitter and all this sort of stuff, because you're not just talking about games, you're talking about life, you're talking about stuff.
I love life, man.
Can I how much of your personal life do you feel comfortable sharing online? If you go on a bad date, are you going to talk about it? Like, I'm always curious as to like what.
Yeah, I guess
where's the line
Twitter?
Between like, yeah, between
like on Twitter, or like if you're talking to your chat in stream or something.
Okay.
I'll put it like this,
talk
about my bad days right now.
No. People know about my girlfriend. I call her Mrs. Green. her name is Avery. We're not married yet or anything.
I was about to say, is she cool with that? Like, we only went on two dates, but I'm calling her Mrs. Green, right?
Exactly. but it kind of keeps me in check, and it's like, Abel, don't cheat with these girls, and no, because it's like everybody knows me, so it's like everybody knows.
Keeps
it's like
kind
of,
right?
Like the ladies
keeps
are like, you better take care of Mrs. Green. Yeah, you better take care of her.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. You're
Does
right.
Does she ever show up in your stream?
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh yeah. Okay. We have last year we built gingerbread houses for Christmas.
That's awesome.
We do everything, man.
That's awesome.
So like it's good to be transparent with your audience, but you don't have to do that at all neither. Like a lot of people remain kind of shaded and don't get into their personal, and there's nothing wrong with that, because that is your life.
Right.
You don't
personal and work.
That, that, yeah, exactly. You don't want everybody in your shit. Like, literally, yeah. Like, just like, yo, can I have my own life? Can I right. not be yeah. Abel Green today? Can you not know her or know that, hey, we're kind of pissed at each other right now and yeah. stuff like that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you got to have some of that shit to yourself. But I do welcome people knowing her. And yeah. even when I'm not feeling good or I'm going through something bad, or I'm very honest with my audience. I'm like, and my girlfriend hates me. Oh, she hates. She's like, Abel, you talk to them. Like, you tell them everything. You tell them everything.
Yeah. Well, how does that translate, like, with your audience? Like, do you have a more personal relationship with your audience? Have you ever, like, met people that hang out?
It seems to me like people would prefer, like, a certain level of, like, transparency and, like, intimacy a little bit.
I'm a weird one because I look at how other entertainers and streamers, YouTubers, whatever you want to say, in different industries, I see how they approach life and stuff. And I feel like even though they share things, it's still a me,
right.
Yeah.
type of thing. Like, if it feels so fake, it's almost like, you know? It's almost like they got this audience because it's therapeutic to them because they can get off. It's like busting a nut on their audience.
You are talking something that I know Justin and I talked about a while ago, which was this idea behind, like, all the YouTubers and Twitch streamers that we meet, like, they're all really, really, really nice people. But at some point, you gotta wonder if, like, maybe
they're into themselves.
The conversations that we have don't have to be about you all the time. Let's talk about, like, something else, you know?
That shit's not, half these people aren't real, bro. That's the thing where people are like, Abel, you're so to yourself, and I'm fine in the dark. I love it. Because the thing is this. Me and Justin haven't talked in so long or whatever, but I never forget Justin. I always, like, and Justin just hit me up, Abel, can you come on? I was like, oh, Justin, I remember Justin. We had a laugh. And then,
who's Justin?
Good guy. I remember Justin too. I was like, and listen, Justin didn't know me from a hole in the wall. And he was like, Abel, if you want to go to this event, I'll help you get. He was so kind. And I was like, oh, my God, you would do that for me? I'm black? This is amazing. What? And it's like, I'm fucking.
Justin, I'm deeply.
It was very beautiful. And I was just like, yo, to be welcomed like that was just, like, so heartwarming to me. And with these other people, they'll talk you to death and not ask one thing about you.
Not a fucking thing about you.
How are you guys doing today? How's mom and dad doing? Is the family okay? They don't care.
It's all about them.
And that's how come all these, like, when people go to these big conventions and stuff like that, it's so fake because you see it. Like, no, well, I can read people very well. You could see where it's like they get off on this. This is their life. Like, they get off on being acknowledged.
You have to sort of be that kind of person. Like, if you're, like, a musician, you have to have some sort of, like, you know, something, yeah, that you want to get up on stage and show.
No, you are very right because you do have to have some type of guard up to show, like, hey, like, listen, I am this, my stature is this, like, don't get it twisted. Like, so I know you're right, but there's some people, like, just genuine. You could tell when people just tweet when they're at home and you just see what they say, like, they get off on the reactions and people interacting. You could just see it. You're just like, yo, this person loves them. This person taking pictures constantly of themselves. Like,
validation, the likes, the hearts, the retweets, That is actually a hit of dopamine, I think it's
when
called.
When you post something and then you just refresh it and just wait.
Is it funny? That's why social media is such a drug. It's indirectly a drug.
And the men are just like the women, sometimes worse in some cases. You understand? Like, it goes both ways. It's way worse.
Men are terrible.
No, you're right, girl. Like, definitely. Like it's everybody's about themselves so fucking much, and it's fucking scary. You gotta be about people in general. And my thing is this: you don't have to be up under everybody and be in every circle. I think that's the worst thing to do, is trying to be around people that you don't really fit in with, that is really not, but you want to, I don't know.
You want to appear a certain way.
Yes, exactly. You want to look like a certain way, you know? But I say, fuck it. Be yourself. Be with people that do push you to be better. That's totally. One thing that's very good. Always be around people. Don't be intimidated by being around people that do more or know more than you. Or you can't be. Don't never be afraid of that. Always embrace that shit. That shit will make you better. But yeah. Don't be around people that are self-centered. You have to be around people that are humble and care about you. If, hey, fuck it, man, I'm in the hospital. Can you pick me up? Like, you need those people that would be like, hey, not a problem, man. I'll call an Uber or I'm coming down my fucking self.
Guys, you should not be hanging out with
those
me.
People.
I'm pretty sure I'm fairly self-centered. Well, I apologize.
Are you saying you wouldn't pick me up? Come on, man.
Maybe I'll call you an Uber. I don't know, man. It's tough. I don't want those fees on my card, man.
No, man. You're selling yourself short. True story. Justin Chow came with me when my girlfriend's cat had to go to the hospital. And he was like, yeah, let's get in the car. Let's do this.
Yeah.
That's a fucking friend. That's a dude you buy a pizza for or you buy a beer for.
At least a pizza.
Yeah, thank you, pizza.
I wanted pepperoni.
I'm not complaining, but whatever.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing in the entertainment world. I say be transparent, but be real in the same breath. Sometimes I say some things that are a little too real, and people are like, wow, sometimes I say some things where it's just like, okay, like I'm a young man, like, well, I'm 29 right now, but I always thought ahead of time, like I always thought like just in a grown manner. I don't know why life was so real to me. I've seen a lot of shit, but I don't know why. I just always respected life and people's perspective because I love people genuinely. Now how my circle is right now is very small, and I'm away from a lot of people. But if you ever call me or really need me to do anything, I'm there. I'm there.
I have a question for you. This podcast is like a perfect example.
But Justin, you were so nice, and
such a nice boy.
Like,
So, as a friend, because we're friends now, I'm just gonna throw that out there in case you knew that or didn't. We're friends.
I'm kind of hungry, and I need a pizza.
Are you gonna be at PAX East this April?
PAX East. I actually went last year and didn't really enjoy it. I was at TwitchCon last year. I went to AwesomeCon. Then I was all over last year. Besides E3 is something I enjoy more at home.
It's pretty intimidating and also exhausting.
I was gonna say
I want to enjoy like, and that's the thing about E3. Like, I feel like enjoying that at home is more better for me because I look at what I want to look at. Yeah. I hear the stories that I want to hear, and everything's just coming to me, just like in the comfort of my chair, and I don't have to run around and try to meet people. I want to enjoy the event. I don't want to be there as a media person trying to. That's not thing.
You're also in a cool, like, unique opportunity where you can like share those like conferences and stuff with your audience. You can just watch those together, and then boom, the whole.
Did somebody drop? We still good, guys?
No, you're good.
Yeah, no, you're good.
Okay. That means more to me. That means more to me. Talking like if you guys are like, oh, Abel, we're gonna do an E3 thing, that would mean more to me than us actually being there. Because it's like I like to see the genuine reactions and see like, wait, what do you feel about this? Or because in the E3 thing world, and I know you guys work in the industry and do different things, and it's work. You know, like wouldn't be able to soak it in and be like, wow.
It's really interesting you mentioned that because I actually started thinking, like, the last concert I went to, for some reason I had this inclination to have my phone out and record a lot of the songs. But then I realized I'm experiencing the concert through my phone. Who's experiencing it better than I'm experiencing it? It's absolutely true. Same thing.
Exactly. You can go look at somebody else's phone concert.
Right, exactly. Who am I even showing this to? It's like, I just want to remember this, but it's not. You're not going to remember the actual event because you're not even there.
Exactly.
We're at E3. when we were at E3, we were doing the exact same thing. We had the meetings, we had schedules, we had to figure out where the hell to go, and then at the end of the day, we ended up missing a ton of stuff.
Exactly. You never stop and smell the roses. You're
it's
always
just,
moving.
Yeah.
Oh, this ties right back into, like, you know, this kind of whole, the theme of this podcast, which is just like, you know, like, live life, you know, balance.
Yeah,
and
you
have
to liberate
yourself.
Free yourself.
Life
free yourself.
With
Mr.
Abercrombie.
Yeah,
no. You have to free yourself. All you guys, we're all slaves to, like, I don't know if you guys got student loans, whatever thing.
Oh,
listen. I know we all do here. But we're all slaving to pay off debts and do different things, but it kind of entraps you in the hustle because you have to, one, take care of yourself, pay bills and different things like that.
Absolutely.
And plus, you also want to thrive in your careers and stuff. And sometimes you don't take the time to enjoy the things around you, the shit around you. And that's how come I pick and choose everything I do. Because I'm like, am I going for business or am I going to enjoy this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do I feel like I have to bring my camcorder? Can I pack light or am I carrying cameras? You know what I mean? Like, it's like in these things, you don't know. You could be here today, going tomorrow. These things are precious. So these events that you guys go to and things, you should see it from the front row view of your life, not in suit and tie or.
Well,
or,
hey,
or,
that's
dude,
why I'm
that
saying.
Freaking,
you know?
Yo, that was that, some Gandhi shit that you just said. That was awesome.
Yo, that's why I'm saying if you could. If I'm just, I'm throwing. Where are you
front
looking
row
at right
of
now?
Your life.
Way?
I'm gonna like quote you on that. Can I keep that one? Can I put it on my
front
row of your life?
Ahead, go ahead, man. Go ahead, run it, please.
But Mr.
Yes, sir.
Where are you located right now?
I'm in DC. Watch. I'm actually like I could see Trump's toupee from here.
Me?
Wow, it's bright enough.
Me?
All right. Orange.
Me? If you do change your mind and come to PAX East, like last PAX East we went to 2017, we had marketing materials.
So much fun.
It was a lot of fun though. We did
like,
do
we
a
worked,
lot of.
But, oh my God,
we worked
so
the shit
fun.
Out of that event. It was great. We stood in front of the lobby. We got
so much stuff away.
Yeah, we gave a lot of stuff away. A lot of stuff. This
just
year. This year, yeah, I lost my voice. I was yelling a lot. We were in the lobby. We were handing out lanyards with maps on them, and we had the okay from the PR agency that handles PAX's admissions. And
okay.
We literally just stood there with help from the enforcers to move traffic past us to get our stuff and then go into the convention. But at that point, like, we realized that, like, we're working the event so hard that it's difficult for us to enjoy it. We're enjoying it on a different level. But I think this year we're actually going to be taking it a much, like, you know, slower, more enjoyable, leisurely pace. If you make it out there, and I'm just going to throw this out there, I will buy you your first, if you drink, if you're over 21. I think you're over 21.
I'll buy you 29.
Yeah, I'm 29.
I'm definitely.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I will buy you your first beer. If you wanted to come,
oh,
I'm just throwing
you.
A, you should do this.
I appreciate it. I'll definitely keep that in mind. I probably won't, to be honest with you. I'm going to be very frank with
you.
Well,
that was
a
damn.
Friendship revoked.
Wait, is there anything out in D.C. that happens game-wise, like game cons?
Awesome Con is in at the end of March.
Awesome.
And it's actually, and it's actually pretty cheap. But the thing about Awesome Con that's so beautiful to me is the art. The art and the passion and the people is just beautiful.
Really?
I went to PAX East last year. I went to PAX East last year and I just came out underwhelmed. Like, it was cool because I smiled because I'm like, oh, Lorebreaker's is in the middle of this convention. And
it was confusing
it
to me too.
Like I love indies, but it wasn't the indies of the quality that I expected. I'm a person of quality and don't get it twisted. You have to start someplace.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of people just starting.
You
know?
Every year it gets bigger. I think
I believe
like,
you
total admittance was like around 80,000 or something like that. It's crazy.
But what I seen from there was like, I don't want to say amateur hour, but it seemed a lot of people trying to find themselves and getting started in the industry or just breaking off from another studio to do their own endeavors, which is beautiful. I love that.
I mean,
but also that kind of bummed me out was I want the art. I came there, I came there with money and left with money.
You know,
it was
fun.
Not a lot of spending.
No.
We walked around the floor, there's some PC parts.
I'm like, bro,
they're selling PC parts. We know exactly what you're talking about. Newegg was there, Logitech.
I want art. I want Mario.
If you want art,
they had that automatic Mahjong table though.
They have the computer glasses that help your eyes see them.
The ones
yeah,
Gunner
right.
Gunner glasses.
Like,
get
like,
out of here.
Oh, God.
You're talking about like the Comic-Con.
Comic-Con. I love that. Okay. Hold on. October, right? Comic-Con, NYC. If you make it up there, that beer will be warm, ready for you.
Wait. And when is Comic-Con?
It's usually in October.
Something like that.
There's some holiday in October.
October. I'm from New York, so I.
Neighborhood.
Yeah. I should definitely. I wanted to go. I didn't go last year. Or whatever.
If you want swag,
yo, I buy
NYCC
stupid.
NYCC is the place to go.
I buy stupid. Okay. Comic-Con. Okay. Abel. Done. I'm gonna check it out. You already committed without commuting. That's just how that works. I'm sorry. That's just how it works.
I'm gonna push to do it. Wait. What's the date? Or we don't have one yet.
I don't think it's out yet. But
it's usually the first weekend.
It's usually end of third quarter, first quarter, fourth quarter.
We'll be in I'll keep
one
you
of
up
those
to speed.
Bullshit holidays.
Oh yeah,
right
please
around
keep
there.
Me up to speed. Yeah, just
it's
let,
always
just
like
let me
that
know.
Holiday
yeah, dude, I got you.
Because TwitchCon is gonna be right around the corner too from that, and I'm gonna have to double
Is TwitchCon cool?
I went, this was my first time 2017, and I had such a great time.
Really?
Such awesome. A great time. I was very impressed. Very impressed.
Okay.
I had a good time. Because
Twitch always has like the most exclusive but apparently the best parties at all these conventions.
So they
can only
I couldn't get into the party because the line was as far as I could see, and then beyond that, I didn't get into the party, but just the experience and the people were I was shocked how many people actually knew me. I was so impressed, and I was just humbled, like, oh my God, you guys know me. Like, yeah, of course I know you, and you stream Rainbow Six, and very respectful people, very nice people. It just to see some of the people that I look up to far as streamers. I seen Manpons there. I seen Solid FPS. I seen Doc's Lambo double parked in the handicap spot. it was insane, and it was just beautiful. But the thing is, I think the people made it special, because coming from the Twitch environment, a lot of people are very respectful. There's a lot of good communities. Now there are bad ones, but there a lot of the good community people showed up, and it was very good.
That's
everybody
awesome.
Was so pleasant, smiling, and there were some things to buy, but Twitch also was hosting great events and great competitions, and giving out actually valuable shit that you would actually wear and different things.
Cool.
So they were on point, and it was very fun. Nobody got hurt. No craziness. No. Yeah, it was very professional.
Okay,
I enjoyed
it. Good time.
We might have to put
TwitchCon on our schedule.
Yeah, it sounds like a good
time.
Yeah,
it's definitely a good time. It was a great time. And after that, I was like, I'm going to do this every year. I promise.
Nice.
And that was it. It was over.
Nice.
I was like, yeah, sold.
So we'll definitely keep that on the radar. And guys, I think we just backed up against the end of this podcast. We hit our hour cap.
Wow, that
it's
went back so
no.
fast.
Yeah, how fast did
it's
we just blast
no.
through that? If we go much longer, our friends are going to be like, oh my God, Justin keeps talking.
Oh my God.
No, it's all good, man. But dude, this has been a really cool conversation, man. Like, it definitely took some turns that I was not expecting.
Your mother should coming on.
But yeah, dude,
no, anytime. You guys are amazing, man. Like, listen, I know. Seriously, I'm typically the person listening. I don't like to talk this much, but you guys really made me feel good. So I,
we're happy to hear that you are a wonderful human being. Why don't you tell our audience where they can find you and what you're doing?
Yeah, guys, check me out on Twitter at Mr. Abel Green Green. on Twitter. And yeah, just check out my stuff or just come through to a stream. You don't have to go to YouTube or nothing. Just check me out. Just say hello. Simply just say hello. And that's all you got to do.
So that's Able,
A-B. Listen, guys, I'm sorry. I thought it was all right.
It's perfectly fine. And I didn't mean to put the emphasis. Like, I was going to give it to you. I was legit spelling it.
It was perfect. It was perfect. Everybody, go check out Abel's stuff. He's an awesome dude.
You.
Totally worth your time. Thank you, Abel. Thank you, Liz. Thank you, Alex.
Anytime.
Thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Justin.
Thank you, guys.
Abel. We will see you guys on the next one.
See ya. Bye.